Hypnosis, etc. with Celeste Hackett. How you doing, Celeste?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I'm just having fun over here in Dallas, Texas. I'm teaching people hypnosis, advanced techniques, and of course, basic techniques. It's wonderful. Visit my training page, familyfirsthypnosis.com. Well, Cal, you know I always have to plug my website every time you say hi, Celeste.
Well, it's just that's the rules of this medium, big media mogul machine type thing, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. You get a mic in front of you or a camera in front of you, make sure you mention your business.
Good. All right. Hey, if you guys are watching this video anywhere else except calbanion.com, go there right now, because right below this video is all the links, additional text, support materials, and stuff like that, so that you can get the full scoop. Let's see. Oh, hey, the affiliate program is going like crazy. People are saying, hey, this is really great, because in some parts of the country, they've experienced a bit of a slowdown over the last month or two. And, you know, you do a little affiliate program, and we can work with you to add some income through your website and emails. I know what I want to talk about. Of course, you guys hear me talk about my secret weight loss program. I got a letter here from a hypnotist, and it's on our blog, actually. A few weeks ago, I posted it on the blog. I just now get around to printing it out for you. I don't know, I'm going to hold it up here. Maybe you can see here at the top, this is before, and then afterward, a hottie. That's what she says at herself. She says, a hot tea. And there she is, Lisa Mills, hypnotist, lost a lot of weight. She's so excited. She says, Cal, I've been sending out an email like this to everyone I know. Here's a lovely photo taken of me in June. Phew, I'll tell you where the beef is. She's referring to, you know. And I can't even button the bottom of my shirt. And then here's one of me tonight, having completed, this was sent back in September 18th, having completed the first part of the program. I took it myself with a timer just a few minutes ago. Now that's what I'm talking about, hot tea. Need I say more? Probably not, but it's for me. All right. Anyway, she's talking about how good it's working for her, and she says, wahoo, and so I'm so proud of her to send me that video. I'm not video, but I can put it up here to the video. And gosh, you know, when you are a hypnotist and you're out there talking about what hypnosis can do for you, you want to be the best example of it as you can. So you want to make some more money, you want to have consumable products, you want to be part of an affiliate program, and you want to do excellent work. And that's the most important thing. And that's why we're here, to help you to be better and better hypnotists and hypnotherapists. How's that sound, Celeste?
Congratulations, Lisa. That is just so awesome. Recently, there was a lady who wanted to get into the Army here in our area, and she was 100 pounds overweight. And this Army sergeant thought when he first met her, I'm never going to see her again. But every month, she would report to him how much weight she lost, because she was bound and determined to get into the Army. And one of the things she did was, instead of weighing herself, she had a size 7 pair of jeans, and so every month she would pull that size 7 pair of jeans up, and at first it just went over her knees, and then, you know, went up halfway up her thighs, and then all the way up. And the day that she buttoned and zipped, she did a happy dance, and now she's in the Army. And, you know, if you're overweight, you know, you're gonna feel so good to get the weight off. If you're a hypnotist, you want to make sure that you're doing weight loss hypnosis, and the secret project that Cal's working on, it really can help people. So listen to what he says.
Yay, thank you. Hey, you know, I'm looking at my blog here, and also, you know, a few weeks back, I did something I haven't mentioned about yet, and it's, so I'm going to spend a couple minutes, since we're talking about marketing a little bit and building your business. And I mentioned that back at the NGH convention back in August, I had a really nice supper with Elsom Eldridge and Gene, his assistant that works with him. And what Elsom does is he's one of the main guys for marketing the National Guild Hypnotist Convention and then making sure that it runs smoothly. And he really liked our hypnosis, our quality award graphic that we allow people to have. It's called the Excellent Hypnosis website, and is presented by hypnosis.org. You can go to any one of my websites, but particularly hypnosis.org, and you will see the graphic there. I believe it's in the left column, and you can click on it and get information about getting it on your website. And he said he really liked it, and what he's going to do for NGH members is they're going to create an excellent, let's see, I have a copy of it right in front of me, Quality Hypnosis Website Award presented by the National Guild of Hypnotists. So if you are a National Guild of Hypnotists certified member, then you can also get one from them. And so look at your newsletter that you get, and there's instructions on how to do that. I would guess that there's also instructions on the NGH website, which is ngh.net. Go there and pick up these two, the one from hypnosis.org and the one from the, if you're a member of the NGH, the one from the NGH, because these third-party endorsements add a lot of credibility to your website. And so, because people know that as far as the internet, we're like the wild, wild west now, and it's really hard to regulate it. But when you've got a website, you know, a graphic that says, hey, this is a good website, and it's a third party like hypnosis.org or the NGH, then they're going to feel a little bit more open to reading and reading your website and accepting what you said. It actually kind of makes them more suggestible. So you can add a touch of hypnosis to your website by adding those third-party endorsements. And also, if you're not an NGH member, then you don't qualify for that, but you still qualify for the Quality Hypnosis Website Award from hypnosis.org. And I personally go to every single website that applies for this. I make sure that it looks like it's a truthful website. I'm particularly picky about credentials. If it looks like they've got shaky credentials, like you know, a PhD in clinical hypnotism or something like that, which you've heard I'm not crazy about that, then we deny it. Also, you have to have all of the content in English. We can't say you've got a quality website unless we can go in and actually read it. And we've had some people disappointed because they have websites in Spanish or Chinese or Malaysian or Danish or, you know, whatever, and I'm not able to read it. We have to decline it on that because I actually go to every one of those websites. I go through it, look at it, and make sure that it is does appear to be an excellent hypnosis website. All right, so third-party endorsements, good way to make your website more believable and the visitors more suggestible, and you want to suggest that they call you, so go for those awards.
Yeah, I need to make that one of my new goals. I have your quality hypnosis award, and I saw the one for the NGH. It's very nice looking, and I think all of us members ought to try to go ahead and get that.
Yeah, and you can tell if they're real because the graphic, click on it. And if you click on our the hypnosis.org Quality Hypnosis Website Award, if you click on it, it will go to a page on the hypnosis.org that explains that this person has a quality website and stuff like that. If you go to the graphic and you click on it and nothing happens, that is a bogus award. They just copied it from the web page and posted it on their website. So make sure that it clicks and goes somewhere. I'm sure the NGH will do that too.
Beware, people. Cal, are you ready to move into this this question? This is a really good question today.
Only if it's a really good question.
Super duper good. It's all about psychologists putting hypnosis down because of its power to modify behavior. Remember, I know you know that guy Jeff wrote to you. And this is what he asked Cal. Listen to this, guys. Hi, Cal. I have a couple of textbooks on psychology. And as I read the short, very short, sections on hypnosis, the books seem to say a couple of things that are contrary to what I've learned about hypnosis. Number one, the memory can be enhanced, but also leads to an increase in false memory. Number two, the age regression is very unreliable, even to the point of saying that the subjects are only role-playing. Number three, role theory says that hypnosis is not a special state of consciousness, just complying with social demands. If I chose to really pick these textbooks apart, I could show a serious bias on the part of the authors in that they seem to first mention the negative, then some of the positive, and finish with more negative, setting up the student to only remember the first and last so that they come away with a negative emotional response to hypnosis. In your studies of psychology, Cal, did you get the sense of the psychologist? Let me see how he puts this. Did you get the sense that psychologists crap on hypnosis for a reason, because it really seems to be a very powerful thing to use to help modify behavior. I also spent time on the APA site and researched hypnosis and came up with the idea that they believe that only psychologists should be doing age regression, and that they don't seem to want to do it more so because of litigation than to help the client. Just some stuff, he says. Thanks, Jeff. So your take on the whole psychology and hypnosis thing, I think that's what he wants, Cal, and you're the guy. You're the guy to do this.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know it because I mainly talk about myself just being a hypnotist, but I have a master's degree, bachelor's degree in psychology. I went all the way through the PhD in clinical psychology, PhD program. I didn't do the dissertation. I kind of burnt out on psychology, but I understand where they're coming from. And so I can kind of put some input on this. And let me see, Celeste, you're going to have to keep track. There's probably about 18 questions in there. And I'm going to start at the top and kind of keep track of what I've answered, what I haven't, and then what I haven't, just remind me and I'll keep going.
Okay.
Okay, false memory. Actually, false memory is something that hypnotists have to be very careful of if they're doing age regression work. If you do suggestion wrong, then there's a remote possibility that you could create false memories. Now, that's why you should not do age regression work unless you've had training as someone who does age regression therapy, such as the five pathers. They get people trained and certified in five path. They know how to do this right. But realistically, from a wider perspective, false memory probably occurs more frequently in talk therapy than it does in hypnotherapy. And one of the reasons I believe that is that when you're doing hypnosis with someone, the person is very aware that you're working with hypnosis and making suggestions, and if something doesn't make sense or they don't like it, they're prone to reject it. But we're also very suggestible to people that we perceive to be experts. And when we go to see a counselor or social worker or psychologist or psychiatrist, obviously we expect them to be experts, and we become suggestible to them. And you know, unfortunately, there's good and not so good professionals in every profession, and there are counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists who, because of their view of the world, for example, might think everything comes from childhood sexual abuse, and they will suggest that to the person overtly, and eventually the person will begin to believe it. They'll say, "Look, it's normal that you will have blocked this supposed abuse out. It's normal, but you might, as we work together, start to have some memories or some dreams or suspicions, at least, that it's happened to you, and then the mind will begin to release that." And if you believe that person who's, even meaning well to help you, your mind will begin to fill in the blanks or confabulate and create memories that did not exist. That's well documented in non-hypnotic type work. So yes, hypnotists need to be trained so it doesn't happen. I think it's less of a risk with hypnosis than it is with talk therapy. It happens all the time with talk therapy. Anything you want to add to that, Celeste?
I don't think I could, Cal. That was brilliant and really interesting to me, as I don't have psychology degree or training, so I just really appreciate that. But he did also say, and kind of in the same line, he said that memory can be enhanced. And would you like to speak to that with hypnosis?
Okay, memory is not enhanced with hypnosis. Recall is enhanced. You could be thinking of it as the imprinting in the subconscious mind in long-term memory. It's there or it's not there. You can't enhance it. But what you can do is enhance your ability to recall what's in there. And it's been shown that just being in hypnosis improves recall. But if we do age regression done properly, you know, by someone who's been trained how to do it properly, we can regress someone back to the specific age and then have them revivify, which means to relive the event, and they can actually know what they knew then or think what they thought then, feel what they felt then, and in the context of that experience, kind of like the holograph of the mind, what happens is we can have better, it's not even really recall, it is reliving and re-experiencing, and so we get in touch with that information. Now, one of the things, there's a big difference between like forensic hypnosis and the kind of work that the hypnotist or hypnotherapist does. Forensic hypnotists are people who are specifically trained to help people recall memories or information from a previous event, like the scene of the crime. And they've got to be very, very careful that everything that is brought up is exact and historically correct. But hypnotists who are working with helping change people's beliefs and helping them make to feel better, it's a different deal. We have to realize that what's recorded in the mind is not necessarily historically correct. That what is in the subconscious mind can be distorted. The information that we received in the first place may not be correct, which early beliefs and emotions are based on those misbeliefs. And so we just understand that. And so age regression done in the way that a forensic hypnotist does can get information that can lead to then helping with a court case. But the work that we do, we don't worry so much about it being historically correct. What we go for is we're trying to uncover the earliest perceptions that led to beliefs, that led to emotions, that led to the behaviors and experiences that we're having now. And we recognize that those earliest beliefs that maybe are in the 2-year-old mind or the 5-year-old mind are probably incorrect. And it is through the use of what we call the informed child technique, where we actually have the knowledge of the grown-up and the knowledge of the hypnotist work together to do informed child technique, which is to go before the misperception or the fear or whatever the problem is in the ISE, go before it, give that child the information they need so they can go through it without picking up the misperception. So the hypnotist, it helps people get over limiting beliefs and problematic emotions and stuff like that. We recognize that the information that we receive in an AR or age regression is not necessarily reliable. We recognize that. It's the truth. But what we're going to do is we're going to go back and try to replace that information, which is something more accurate, given what's known by the hypnotist and by the adult aspect of the client. Anything you want to add to that, Celeste?
No, he goes on to talk about role theory. I guess that's a psychological term because it's not something I'm used to hearing. He says role theory says that hypnosis is not a special state of consciousness, just complying with social demands. What do you have to say about that? Is he just saying that there is no such thing as hypnosis?
All right, I'm kind of writing some stuff down here because I got a whole bunch of stuff to say about that. We could do a whole show just on this.
Well, we might have to because we're already closing in on time here. We might have to do a part 2 on this.
Okay, well, let me see. How are we doing on time?
Well, we're into this by about almost 19 minutes here.
Okay, well, if we go 5 minutes over, nobody's going to get too upset. You can always fast forward or pause us and watch us next time. This is the deal. I'm looking around, and I tell you what. Psychologists and psychiatrists are bound by a very set of rigid rules, which is good, because somebody has to be. And most of their technology with regard to hypnosis is antiquated. It's antiquated, because things that they do should have a scientific basis. And the stuff that we do is very, very difficult to bring into the lab and to study scientifically. So a lot of their techniques that they use are very old, or they're gosh, I can't find an exact word, but rudimentary. Visualization, direct suggestion. Typically, they don't do a lot of age regression, that kind of thing. So this whole role play theory thing is accurate and inaccurate. When you see a stage hypnotist working with people, the stage hypnotist understands this whole idea of social pressure and role play. And when you get people that volunteer to go onto a stage, some of them will not go into hypnosis, some of them will go into a wonderful state of hypnosis, and some of them will experience this kind of social pressure and just enjoy playing along. The stage hypnotist understands that this is a show, and if the person is good for the show, that's fine with him or her. They will typically excuse the people that are either not in hypnosis or not entertaining because of the social pressure to behave or the desire to be in the role of the hypnotized person. And so that the person is willing to just play along and have a fun time or just kind of get wrapped up in the moment, then that's fine with the stage hypnotist. Now, by the way, when someone gets into that state, they probably are more suggestible and to some degree in a pleasant state of hypnosis, but you don't need to have everybody on the stage to be in a deep state of hypnosis for it to be successful. Now, but the problem with this idea from this role play theory, psychologist, psychiatrist type point of view is that they're indicating that hypnosis is not real. And recent brain scan information has demonstrated undeniably that the brain is operating differently when someone is in a deep state of hypnosis rather than when they're just playing along. And there's also been some studies, for example, where they test people by simply with pain. And they'll take a group of subjects, you know, and randomly assign them to two groups and hypnotize them or not hypnotize them. And they'll take the non-hypnotized group and put their hand in the ice water, their arm in ice water, and they document how long they can stay in that ice water because it becomes very painful after a while and people will eventually just pull their hand out when they just can't take it anymore. And then the other group, which they hypnotize first, and then have them put their arm into the water with suggestions of comfort or analgesia or anesthesia, a number of different techniques, and they're able to leave their arms in there indefinitely. And so there's good scientific evidence that hypnosis is real, both from a medical level and then also from a psychological level. And so, gosh, the old hypnosis isn't real, it's just role play theory. That's old news. And again, I said, it's just really antiquated. Good. What else do you want to talk about, Celeste?
Well, gosh, I think we went all over the place here with this question. I mean, you gave answers far and wide, and you did a great job. I just can't wait to see sometime somebody, you know, some institute, some funding come about and everything come about so that there is some scientific research that will help help people better understand what hypnosis is capable of now. I wonder if that will ever happen. I sure hope and dream, as all hypnotists do, that day will come one day.
Well, you know, it is coming, and I think it's constantly coming out. And as hypnotists, we need to find ways to have access to that and disseminate it better through our profession and to participate in that research. Celeste, I think you are right. I think we need to wrap this episode up, and then what we'll do is we'll continue answering this question next episode because, like I said, there's a lot of questions in there, and we're going to get into things I wrote down like, is there like a turf war going on here? Is there a reason that psychologists are poo-pooing hypnosis and stuff like that?
And why don't they do it if they say they're the only ones who can?
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that next episode.
Okay.
Because we're running about 24 minutes right now.
That's right. All right, we've got to go. I'm Celeste Hackett. We'll see you next time. Visit my website, familyfirsthypnosis.com. And this is, what's the name of our program again? Hypnosis, etc. Sorry, I'm just all in jumble today. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. with me, Celeste Hackett. I'm going to have to go hypnotize myself.
All right, this is Cal Banyan. Remember to go to calbanyan.com, go to hypnosiscenter.com, go to hypnosis.org. That's the newest one. Go there, check out how we've kind of rearranged it. It's a little bit better. You can get your free directory listing there to get a little more business for your website and for your office. Okay, that's it. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.